You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
that's okay. We got through it.
Is Pastor Ralph.
And we ended with great is God's faithfulness. Guys, in your bulletin, you will see as we continue our study in this great book of Romans, our introductory verses are going to be coming out of Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And that should be page 986 if you're using a pew Bible. Romans, thank you, Lord, chapter 14. And we'll begin our reading at verse 1. And again, that should be page 986 if you're using a pew Bible. We've been going through this book and rapidly finishing up. I mean, going through it pretty quick. And the Lord's been blessing. At least he's been blessing me with some understanding of some things that I actually thought I knew. And he dived a little deeper and helped me know I didn't know it as well as I thought. And so he dug me deeper as well. And I love him for that. In verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, he begins to speak about, and we saw this last week as well, the weaker brother, the one that's in Christ, that's not quite where we are or not quite where you are, but he is in faith in Christ Jesus. He goes in verse 1, he says, if you're with me, say amen. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. I wanted to say dispensations, but he says disputations. And what we know is that there are some, especially during this time, there were some weaker brothers who were come out of Judaism, and they had a lot of rituals that they did in regard to trying to keep the law. And what they were doing, they were still doing some of those things. And I'm not talking about sinful things, but they were doing practices that they did when they were just in the law. And many times they were still doing it. And look, even we have many learned behaviors that our parents taught us in regard to things in church and things that we do. And some folk out of other denominations, I shared last week, they'll cross themselves if they say Jesus' name or mention someone who had passed away. And a lot of these things, it's just a learned habit. And ultimately, God, if it's not needed, he's going to take it from us. But he's talking about trying to blow somebody out the water because they're doing something that they learned, but it's not really a sin issue. And in verse 2, he says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eat his herbs. And even now, we know some folks still stick to certain dietary habits. Some will eat some things, some will eat other things. Some believe it's a sin to eat some things, or others will defile them. And he's saying that, look, in regard to what we eat, don't try to tear somebody up because they won't eat what we eat. There are some Jews that won't eat pork, and they have to grow to that place. God has to take them there. In fact, we know he did that with Peter, because Peter had an issue with it. In verse 3, it says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, they're both Christians. God's received them. They've received Christ. And because of that, he loves them. And look, he's not on their case in regard to what they're doing that way. That's non-sinning. And we shouldn't try to tear them up because of it as well. In verse 4, he says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. He goes on, yea, he shall be holding up. For God, look what it says, is able to make him stand. And the point is, look, if it's something that needs to come out of their life, let God pray for them. Let God take it out of their life. Don't try to snatch it out. And look, there's nothing wrong with mentioning it and even praying for them in that regard. But let God do it. And listen, he does it oh so well. We know that during that time that the Jews were struggling, the Jewish believers were struggling with a whole lot in regard to the dietary laws and different various things. But he's saying that, look, even with that, even if they're doing that, he says at the end of verse 4 that God is able to make him stand, that he'll be okay because he's in the hands of the Lord. One man, verse 5, it says, esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. let, and I love this, he says, every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And dare I say, in his own heart, in regard to what you're doing and what you're not doing. Years ago, me and my wife were members of a church in New Jersey. And one of our pastor friends at the time, he was a deacon, and God called him to be a pastor. And so he went to this church, and we went there really to kind of help him out. And this church, they were had a bunch of issues, and one was the communion table. They had a table that they would use just for communion. And so Pastor Gregory, and he's went on to be with the Lord now, he would come in and he would lay his Bible on this table. And every time he would do it, somebody would pick up his Bible and put it somewhere else. And so he would purposely lay it on this table. He kind of knew what was going on. And then they would pick it up and they would move the Bible. And then finally he said, why do y'all keep moving my Bible? And so they told him, look, this table is set aside for communion. It's holy. You don't lay your Bible on this table. Now, number one, if you were going to lay anything on the table that you consider to be holy, it would be God's holy word, number one. And number two, he had to share with them, and he did it lovingly, that the only thing about this table that's holy is when we use it to serve God's communion. That all these things are simply wood, and listen, one day it's going to be gone anyway. Nothing holy about this table. And eventually they stopped moving his Bible, even though I don't know if they ever actually got over it, but he lovingly trying to share with them that table, because y'all all this time would not put nothing else on this table because you felt like it was sin. And he let them know, he said, if you show me a Bible verse that tells me that if I lay my Bible here, that is sin, I'll stop doing it. And of course they researched and they never did find it, but he lovingly just chastised them somewhat to let them know. And he was trying to get them on a path, on a plane, to know that if it's in the Word and it's dealing with whatever it's dealing with, then that's something we need to make relevant. But if the Word is not saying it's wrong, in reality, really, in of itself, is not wrong. He said in verse 5, one esteemeth one day above another esteemeth each day alike. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Guys, I ask that you be prayerful with me as we continue in our sermon series, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And Father, as we move ahead in this great book, Father, as you have been blessing us through it, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will hide me, your teacher, your preacher for the day. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Father, allow the words that I teach on this day to be words that you have given me for this congregation. And Lord, though I know what the words are, we're going to go through your word in regard to these truths. But my prayer is that I can't do it, but you, by your spirit, if you will take these truths and place them in our hearts where it would do the most good. For some, Lord, it might be for understanding. For some, Lord, it might be for answered prayer or answer to a question. For some, dear Lord, it might even be for salvation. I don't know the hearts, but indeed you do. And I simply ask that you use me and bless me, but indeed bless your truth to find that place in our heart where it will do the most good, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Let God's church say, amen and amen. Chapter 14, read with me verse 6. Paul writes here, he says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it, look, unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, it says, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, it says, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, it says, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And what he is saying is that wherever you're at in regard to your understanding or your proclivities in regard to what you do, listen, you ought to be convinced, number one, in your mind, in your heart, that you're doing this as unto the Lord. And if you feel like you're not to eat this, if he told you not to eat this, or you feel like you shouldn't, you're still giving God the glory in the midst of it. If you feel free enough to be able to eat it, then eat it, and you're giving God thanks for it anyhow. He says in verse 7, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man, it says, dieth to himself. And listen, he's helping us understand that, guys, we are the body of Christ. And what I do affects you as my brother and sister, and what you do affects you, affects me as your brother in Christ. That we don't live alone. We're not just a lone ranger Christians, and we endeavor to be right with each other and to fellowship with each other. And the root of where we are ought to be in Jesus Christ, not in the non-sinning things that I do or that you do. He says in verse 8, for whether we live, look what he says, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, he says, we are the Lord's. And listen, my non-sinning actions really carry no weight. But what carries the weight is whether or not my heart is right with him. And listen, if my heart is right with him, if I need to be somewhere, if I need to not to be doing something, if there's something I need to be doing, it's going to be the Lord that's going to work that out. But I need to first and foremost realize who I am and whose I am, and that God's got me. And when he speaks in my heart, I need to act. But until then, if I'm his and I'm not living in sin, then me and the Lord are okay. And by the way, me and you are okay, because you're my brother and sisters in Christ. Paul writes in verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might, look what he says, be Lord both of the dead and the living. And a lot of times when scriptures talks about deadness, it's talking about someone unsaved. But here he's talking about those that have gone on to be with the Lord. He's still over them. And we who are still on this earth, guess what? He's our Lord and Savior as well. He's over both of us, as we are one family in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? And listen, he's talking about judging here. But he, in reality, he's talking about showing contempt for. Because there are some things that folk will do that's not sin. And the moment they do it, somebody will start rolling their eyes and say, oh, here he go again. So he's talking about showing contempt for what they're doing if it's not a non-sinning thing. Verse 10, he says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? He says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, he talks about this judgment seat here. And here, guys, as a believer, if you know him as Lord and Savior, number one, you are guilty. But God says you're not, because Christ has died for your sins. So the issue of sin has already been taken off the table, because Christ put it on his account. So this judgment seat he's talking about is not for our sin, but it surely is for the works that we do while we're in Christ. Up here you see Pastor Ralph, I'm preaching a sermon. And listen, am I doing this so I can get applause from you? Or am I doing this to the glory of God? And listen, though you're sitting there, you don't really know, you think I'm right. But God knows if I am right, because he don't look on the outside. He looks right at the heart and knows whether or not I'm right. And he knows whether or not I'm wrong. And listen, if what I'm doing is just form of fashion, and I'm just doing this to look good to you, when I stand before him at that, what we know as the Bema seat, which is judgment for your works, he's going to know exactly why I did what I did. If I helped somebody across the street, did I do that because I wanted to look good for them? Or did I do that for the glory of God? And he mentions this judgment seat, and it is called the Bema seat. And it gets the word from the word Bema from the Greek, that actually talks about something, a raised platform or a raised table. In other words, a place where judgment is. But again, not for our sins, but for our works. And by the way, guys, there are a lot of folk, preachers included, that do a lot of things just so that they can see or be seen by man and by woman, just so that man will think highly of them or want to praise them. A whole lot of folk do that. Not just preachers, but preachers do it as well. And God knows whether or not I'm doing this to his glory, or whether or not I'm doing this so somebody will think I'm something that in reality I am not. Amen. Guys, put your bulletin in that page. And I want us to go forward in regard to this Bema seat, this judgment seat. I want us to go forward to the next book, which is, or the next couple of books, which is 2 Corinthians. And I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to zero in on verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1. That should be page 1004, 1004, if you're using a Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 5. And we're going to zero in on verse 1. And here Paul begins to speak about our faith and how in reality our faith in Christ, it ought to guide our lives. It ought to show us the way we ought to go. Because we're no longer ourselves. We belong to him now. Chapter 5, verse 1. If you're with me, say amen. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands," and he says eternal in the heavens. And listen, he talks about this tabernacle of our house, and he's talking about actually our physical bodies. That one day, and listen, sometimes we want to hear it, sometimes we don't want to hear it, but one day these bodies are going to wear out. They're just going to shut down. And say your time here on earth is over. Some leave early, some leave late. And listen, all that's in the hands of the Lord. But he's talking about these bodies. He says, we're dissolved. He said, we have a building. And look, for the believer, in regard to our faithfulness in Christ, I already know he's already set up a time when I'm going to leave. And not only that, but I've got not only a heavenly home, but I've got a resurrected body that's already waiting for me, because this one here can't make it. In fact, these bodies began dying from the moment we were born, and they just get worse and worse and worse. And look, I want this body to be in the best shape that it possibly can be in, but after a while, kind of like my old car out there, when it gets so many miles on it, after a while, it's going to shut down. It's going to shut down, and one day my body will as well. But I've got one, and by faith I believe, and I know I've got one already in the heavens. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know," and Paul's saying we ought to know, "is if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, look, not made of hands, in the heavenlies." And look, he's talking about the death again of our human vessel, but it's going to give me one. He's going to give me one that's suited for heavenly travel. In verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And listen, he's talking about it, and Paul in particular was going through so much in his life here on this earth. He was beaten and battered. And look, he did no wrong. All he did was preach Christ. He was jailed. He was left for dead. He was stoned. And after a while, look, even Paul the apostle, he gets tired sometimes. And he's talking about the things that he go, and even the things that we go through. And he said that "for in this we groan earnestly." Look, there was a time, and I was just talking to this young fellow who's stationed in Hawaii. When I was stationed in Hawaii, man, I'd wake up in the morning. At that age, man, I jumped right up and go do whatever I was going to do. Didn't even think about it. No aches, no pains, no nothing. But now that I jump up, I can jump up like that if I want to, but I ain't going too far. And I better wait and get my balance first, because as we grow older, our bodies begin to break down. And listen, there are times when we groan. And listen, because we know, and he's saying by faith, the believer ought to know, that we have a home in heaven. I got to tell you, with some of the things that we go through, I know many of you have gone through surgeries, many of you have gone through heartaches, many of you have lost some loved ones, and after a while, you get to a place where, Lord, I know what I got in heaven. And listen, it's not a death wish, but it becomes an eternal life wish. I know what's waiting for me. And Paul's saying, look, Lord, if you want to take me right now, I'm okay with that. And though it would be good for him, better for him, and in a lot of cases even better for us, he knows that it's more fruitful for him to stay, because there are still some folk that he needs to minister to. And listen, there's still some work that God has for us on this side as well. He says, "For in this we groan," verse 2, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. He goes on, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And listen, he says that, and it might be a wee bit in the King James hard to understand, but what he is saying is that many times you'll see a movie, and they'll show somebody that dies, and this spirit is just floating around. He's visiting with them on earth, and he's going back and forth to heaven. He goes in. No, when we leave here, our home is in heaven. We'll have a spiritual body that's set for that. And once we get there, we're not coming back here. So he's saying that we're going to be clothed in God's righteousness fully, and we won't just simply be floating around, oh, I don't know where I'm going. No, that's Hollywood. The reality, or God's truth, says we'll be with him in heaven. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing for the believer. Again, why many times heaven looks very good, especially when you're going through something. He says in verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We will be clothed in God's righteousness. He says, for in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, again in this body, do groan, being burdened, not, he says, that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that, look, mortality might be swallowed up of life. And listen, he's talking about out of these earthen bodies and into our spiritual body, and never have to worry about aches and pains and worries and feeling bad or whatever. Because when we leave here and we're with Christ, that ends all agony, all sin, even thoughts of sin. And Brother Greg was talking this morning in regard to the wars and rumors of wars. And a lot of times that stuff cuts hard to y'all, cuts close to your heart. And it agonizes you, but when we're there, hallelujah, we won't have to worry about that anymore. And he also said that we are on the winning side. And by the way, we have already won. And while he has us here, we simply serve him. And by the way, though my body aches, I'm not working in my own power anyhow. I'm working in the power of the Lord. And I do what I do in his strength and in his power until he says I don't do it no more. So no more concerns or no worries about when I'm leaving, when he says it's time I'm going. Until then, hallelujah, Lord, let's stay on the battlefield. Let's do what you've called me to do. Amen. He says in verse 5, now he that have wrought for us, or wrought us, it says, for the self same thing as God. In other words, God has us. He paid for us. It says, who also have given us, look what he says, unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And listen, he's saying that God's Spirit, who has been placed in the life and in the heart, of, in the lifespan of every believer, that he's given us his best. He didn't give us a second-class spirit or second-class angel. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead. And listen, because of him, we know that with him, we can do all things. Anything he's called you to do, he's already equipped you to do it. And he said that you're going to be able to do it because you have my Spirit. And no, in of our own strength, can't do nothing. But in the strength of the Lord, bring it on. In the strength of the Lord, man, I get up in the morning, I don't feel like it, but you know the Holy Spirit lives in me. He said, come on, Brother Ralph, I'll take you. And he does that. And he blesses me there. And he helps me to understand that I'm with him, that he's with me no matter what I do. And yes, sometimes things happen. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we have heartaches. Sometimes we're ailing. Sometimes things don't go the way we wanted them to go. But guess what? God has us and is going the way he wants it to go. And to God be the glory. Every single day of my life. And by faith, I'm believing that. I'm believing he has me. He's holding me. He's keeping me. And indeed, he is blessing me. And by the way, not just me, he's blessing you as well. He says in verse 5, now he that has wrought us for the self same thing as God, who also has given us the earnest of his Spirit. In other words, the best he's got, he gave it to us. And verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, guys, he blesses us here on earth. We have his Spirit, and living on earth is okay. only because of the Lord. But I also know I got something waiting on me. And guess what? That ain't no pipe dream. That's not my imagination. That's real when that time comes. He goes on. At the end of verse 6, he says, in the body we are absent from the Lord. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And guys, I believe everything that God says in his word. And listen, I don't try to convince you of it, but I ask the Lord to help you to understand by faith that because I have his spirit, that what he's saying is so. You might tell me something and I might kind of believe it, but when God tells me something, oh man, I believe it. And I just simply wait and bask in his glory until he brings that thing to pass. Because he already called it and it's already a done deal. I'm just in time waiting for him to bring that to pass, either in time or in eternity. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 7. And by the way, we believe in that faith that he's given us. In verse 8, he says, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And what Paul is saying, that for the believer, for even for him, while he is on earth, that's really the best thing for him. But he knows that it's more fruitful and beneficial if he stays and simply do what God has called him to do. And yes, he's going to go through some things. Yes, you're going to go through some things. But he still has us here for a reason and for a purpose. And that is to be a blessing to the kingdom. Hallelujah. He says in verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And listen, he's saying, whether I'm on earth, I'm going to give it my all. If I go to heaven, God's gave me his all. In verse 10, he says, for we must all appear, and this is really where I was trying to get to, before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, what he is talking about in Romans, this bema seat that has to do with our works. He says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. And again, judgment for our works. And look, there might be some things I did that I took credit for. And in reality, because I took credit for it, wasn't to God be the glory, it was to Brother Ralph be the glory. And if he was going to give me a crown, I'll get none for that one. But again, speaking about our works, he says, knowing. Thank you, Lord. In verse 11, therefore the terror of the Lord. And he says the terror here, and he's talking about the sincereness or the reverence of the Lord. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God. And Paul says, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. In other words, guys, in the things that we do, God already knows. He sees it. It's manifested before him. He knows whether or not it was ours or we gave him the glory. And Paul's saying to this church at Corinth, and I hope that you guys see something godly in me. I hope that I'm...
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101-427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101-427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.